Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Intel is coming under increased scrutiny from President Donald Trump. The US Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick confirmed on Friday that the federal government will take a 10% stake in the US chipmaker. It's a highly unusual move, but it could help the company because it's struggling to compete with rivals and it's been left behind in the booming era of artificial intelligence. Intel, as you probably know, has manufacturing plants in Kildare. It has a research campus in Shannon, just under 5,000 people working for the company here in Ireland. So what does all this mean for those jobs? And how did such a giant in the tech sector fall so far behind? Well, Adam Maguire is with us from the RTE Business Desk. And Adam, you're going to go back to the start and you're going to tell us about the origins now of Intel.
Yeah, you go all the way back to the late 60s for the start of the Intel story. 1968, it was set up by a chemist, Gordon Moore, the man behind Moore's Law, a very important theory in computing. Physicist Robert Noyce, who co-invented the integrated circuit, which is kind of the cornerstone of everything we think about today as kind of semiconductors and microchips, and venture capitalist Arthur Rock, who went on to also become an early investor in Apple. And in its early years, it was focused on computer memory. That's where the bulk of the business is done. But from quite early on, it was at the forefront of the development of microprocessors in the early 70s. This totally new idea, basically, of taking all of these components of a computer that would take up a huge amount of space and shrinking them out into something small that you can kind of fit under a monitor. But it's not really until the 80s that we start to see that potential become a reality. IBM starts to use one of Intel's very early central processing units, or CPUs, on one of its devices, and that proves to be popular. At the same time, and this is kind of something that echoes Intel's current challenges, competition from Asian rivals makes the memory market far less profitable, so they decide then to pivot to the CPU as the future of the business.
So that, it's in the wake of that that Intel arrives here in Ireland.
Yeah, they start looking for an international manufacturing facilities in the 80s, and then they start looking for a European base in the late 80s, and eventually they choose Ireland in 89. Although it's not until 93 that the chips actually start to come off the production line in Leixlip because it takes so long to build these units. It does, though, grow incredibly quickly from that point. It had 1,000 employees by late 93, 2,000 employees a year later, close to 3,000 by the end of 94. And that was matched then by the money that Intel was pumping into Leixlip. Beyond the initial £500 million that they spent on getting established, there was another $850 million invested in 95, $2 billion investment in 2004. And then most recently, we've had this $17 billion investment, which kind of started in 2019 and is kind of continuing to this day.
So clearly making an awful lot of money. And how big did Intel become when it was in its heyday?
Yeah, well, it really was timed perfectly because it was in a perfect position for the boom in the PC market. That kind of sees computers going from being these kind of technical devices that you might have in an office to being something that's everywhere. Every worker has one and every household gets one then as well. And it goes hand in hand with Microsoft's Windows platform, which really hits the mainstream with Windows 95. And it gets the point, basically, if you're buying a PC, a desktop or a laptop, it almost certainly has an Intel chip inside. And people will remember the ad campaign, the Intel Inside, with the little sound mark they had. And the Pentium processor and the Pentium 2. These were all, you know, there were ads on TV for all these kinds of things. It was kind of a core part of computing then. What people probably saw less of, though, was Intel was also dominating the computer server market, which eventually migrates into being data centers and cloud computing. And there were other chip makers like AMD and NVIDIA. In some cases, they were actually making better chips than Intel or cheaper, but they just didn't have the market share. AMD tended to kind of be, you know, the thing that high-end gamers might go for. NVIDIA specialized in the likes of computer graphics, the GPU. Intel dabbled in that, but never really kind of took it seriously because they didn't really have to. You know, they it's hard to know exactly, but they probably had at least an 80% market share of the CPU market in the 2000s, probably higher than that, really. They just completely dominated computing for a long time.
But you say that late 2006 into 2007 was a really pivotal time for Intel. Why is that?
Yeah, so two things happen here in short order that I think really represent that kind of high water mark and then the beginning of the decline for Intel. So Apple, in August of 2006, they complete a project to move away from IBM chips onto Intel ones. And it was a huge undertaking by the company that had to change all their software. But CEO Steve Jobs said it was worthwhile because they wanted to be making the best computer computers and they needed to have the best chips. The Mac line was quite a small part of the PC market, I think about 2% at the time. So not a big thing from a revenue point of view, but it was a kind of a real badge of honor for Intel that they got the Mac business, that they were seen as the best chip maker out there. And, you know, Mac would be kind of used by, you know, high-end users like, you know, graphics designers and so on. So having their CEO saying these are the best was a really good thing for them. But then just 5 months later, Steve Jobs makes another big announcement. He unveils the iPhone for the first time, Apple's first smartphone, and this doesn't have an Intel chip inside it. The reason for that is Intel couldn't make a chip that was energy efficient enough. Steve Jobs said they were really good at making powerful chips as long as you didn't care about the energy usage and how much they cost. And he says that they did try and push Intel to make a chip for its phone, but they wouldn't listen. So instead, they use a chip based on what's called ARM. It's kind of an architecture that you can take and tweak, and nowhere near as powerful as what Intel was doing, but it's cheaper and it's cooler, and that's really important. It doesn't use as much battery life, so that's vital for the iPhone. Intel does eventually try and get into the mobile space, but too little too late. Now,
ship has sailed.
Every single smartphone and tablet out there uses ARM-based chips, basically. And Intel still has the majority of PCs and laptops, but that's a rapidly shrinking market now. And it means that, you know, if you're using a smartphone, it's not Intel anymore. It's made by the likes of TSEM, which is a Taiwanese manufacturer. Apple makes its own chips as well now. And at the same time, its market share in PCs and laptops comes under threat. AMD has become better on price and power. Intel has also developed a reputation for being slow to develop new chips. So Apple, having switched over to Intel, has now switched back to its own chip that it makes based on the chips it made for the iPhone. It's now making a chip for the Mac. It's gotten rid of Intel now for its Mac lineup.
Okay.
And these are actually more powerful and more energy efficient than what Intel is providing. Apparently, Apple just lost patience with Intel. They were waiting for Intel to bring out new chips for their PCs, for their Macs, and they weren't doing it. So they just decided to dump them altogether.
And what about data centers in all of this?
Yeah, so Intel's still the biggest chip supplier in data centers, but much more focused at the kind of mid to low end, kind of more quantity than quality. Once again, it's under threat because, like in PCs, it's no longer seen as having the best chips on the market. And I mentioned NVIDIA making graphics cards, GPUs. That's important because about 10 years ago, people realized this was a way of getting more computer power. You were kind of leveling off with CPUs. Graphics processors were a way of squeezing more performance out of a computer, and they become hugely important in powering artificial intelligence applications. So now anyone who wants to build a cutting edge server or data center wants to have the best GPUs, which means they have to go with NVIDIA. And that company has absolutely exploded in sales. Back at the start of 2020, they had revenues of less than $11 billion. The start of this year, revenues were more than $130 billion. They've more than doubled sales in the previous year. Share price up 1,300% in the past 5 years. So NVIDIA absolutely booming.
So that brings us to now, and we have the American government's interest in Intel and Intel trying to turn the business around. So maybe tell us where we are as we speak.
Yeah, so we now see the US government taking a stake in a 10% stake in Intel. Not the first time we've seen this happen. Of course, we saw it in the financial crisis. We saw it happen again in COVID. Usually, governments prefer to be silent partners, but we know that's not necessarily the case with the Trump administration. And with a 10% stake, they'll have a decent amount of sway. You know, we know all about their America First policy, putting pressure on US firms to move investment back and to move jobs back as well. And at the same time, they're cutting jobs too. Now, Leakslip has kind of been spared for most of the job cuts. But you'd imagine if the US government has a 10% stake and wants to focus on the American market, it's not necessarily Leakslip is in trouble, but that it will now be second tier in terms of new investment and new manufacturing and so on. And the fear is that over time, it doesn't get the new investment it needs and it becomes kind of second rate as a manufacturer if Intel, because the US government is a shareholder, is forced to focus on the American plants instead. And that's the
all right,
the
but it's a bit of a wait and see situation for Intel and all the Irish staff and Irish based staff who work there. Adam, thanks so much. That's Adam McGuire. And that